you take a single species and you look at multiple individuals, you'll see that there'll be some within a given species that are just much better able to withstand stress than others. And so what we're trying to focus on is if we can understand the biology that actually drives the ability of some individuals to do better than others, then could we potentially harness that biology to generate corals that are actually bred to be hardier and bred to withstand the conditions that we know are coming down in our marine setting associated with climate change? You know, we know the waters are going to be warmer in the future, and we know they're going to be more acidic. So our project is really a proof of concept that we can actually harness the biology and we can breed corals that will be better able to withstand future conditions. The information or the background on what we're doing, the science background, is really the result of 25 years of research that's been done on corals that's gradually started to sort of focus us on this idea that just like in human populations where we have super athletes, there are super athletes in the marine realm and in corals particularly. And, you know, if you look at what we do with our athletes, we look for the best performers. We bring them into a training environment. We put them on treadmills. We make them run a lot, and we feed them really good food. And sometimes they'll reproduce with another person who's been training like that, and you end up with these really, really talented offspring. Well, that's exactly what we're doing with corals. And, you know, my position is, and my group, we all feel that we know now that coral reefs are declining, and I think the question is, what can we do about it? And so our project is a much more solution-oriented project. It's really taking the knowledge that we have about coral reef decline and trying to look for rays of hope in the message that we can, rays of hope in the biology that we can exploit to actually forward a solution. And this project is about that solution. It's about why can't we selectively breed corals that are really, really hardy with respect to seawater temperature or seawater chemistry shifts. Why can't we do that? We've done that with almost every other aspect of our lives. I mean, we breed dogs to be of a particular variety. You know, we've really bred our food supply. So why not take that approach in thinking about how to develop, you know, corals that we could potentially use to restore reefs? And instead of just putting corals back where they used to be using the same corals from that environment, what if we were able to actually put a coral back that we know is stronger than the coral that used to be there? What's happening with the burning of fossil fuels is we're increasing the overall amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And what happens when atmospheric carbon dioxide dissolves into the ocean is that it basically forms a weak acid. So normal seawater is quite neutral, really. But as we're increasing CO2 in the atmosphere, more is dissolving into the ocean, and that weak acid is becoming slightly stronger. And so what's happening is the overall chemistry of the ocean is changing. It's becoming more acidic. And that's important because biology, the things that are important in corals, for example, are how much calcium carbonate they lay down to make their skeletons, to build the structure that we know as reefs. That biology requires a very narrow window of chemistry to be really effective. And as we're getting more acidic waters, we're essentially going outside the range of that effective function. And so you're getting less calcium carbonate, less skeleton deposited. And the second problem with climate change is that the planet is warming. And again, a lot of biological reactions are really, really sensitive to the range of temperature, and they will only function within a fairly narrow range. So what happens when we warm is that we're pushing really the range, and those reactions just don't happen quite as well. So when you put the two together, and they will happen together, the warming and the acidification of the ocean, it doesn't bode well for the way in which certain biological reactions occur. And so corals, really, they're suffering many insults, and the warming, the acidification of the water, really what that's doing is it's really just slowing their ability to grow reefs. And for some corals, they're just too sensitive to those conditions, and they die. So in 2013, Paul Allen put a challenge out to the community, to the marine community internationally, saying, give us your best ideas for how we can mitigate the impacts of ocean acidification in marine systems. So that was a huge challenge, really. And so myself and my colleague Madeline responded to that with this idea of, well, why don't we take a much more proactive and solution-oriented approach and actually try to breed corals or develop coral stocks that could be used that are already provisioned for future environmental conditions. And so we put that into the competition, and, you know, and amazingly it won the competition. And so as part of that award, really the competition was just a $10,000 gift to myself and Madeline. And it was just a, here you are, nice idea, thanks very much. And but the real gift was that we were invited to submit a proposal to the Allen Foundation. And at that time, then we submitted the proposal at this, which is just under $4 million. And it went through a series of, you know, evaluations and has been awarded in full. And it's really, it's a transformative amount of money for this kind of work. About 2.5 million is staying here in Hawaii, and 1.5 is going over to Australia. The money is really going to be used for a lot of the, I think I mentioned that we will be actually sequencing the coral genomes. That's a substantial portion of money. But the money is being used to pursue three complementary lines of research. One is really looking at, you know, if we transplant a coral that is conditioned to a certain environment, from that environment to another environment, how well does it do? The second is if we bring corals into the lab and we essentially run them on environmental treadmills. Now, that sounds a bit futuristic, but really it's we set up these big experiments where we expose corals to future conditions, so warmer and more acidic waters, and we push their biology a little bit, and then we bring them back to normal. And the question is, will they remember what was initially uncomfortable? Will they see that a second time as not being anywhere near as bad? And all our preliminary evidence suggests that they may well remember an exposure like that and actually withstand that exposure better the next time, assuming that their biology is not pushed so far that they don't die, right? And then the question is, if we can build their ability to withstand that stress, will they pass that knowledge, that ability, on to the next generation? And so that really is, you know, the analogy of a super athlete being trained, you know, that and then reproducing with somebody else who's being trained and producing a super athlete is really what we're doing with corals. We're also selectively breeding them. That means we're just going out onto the reef and identifying the corals on the reef that are doing the best. And we essentially collect eggs and sperm from those, and we selectively breed. That means we cross the really strong ones. And the goal is to really breed a super athlete from two super athletes. So we are basically interfering in a natural process. We're accelerating a natural process. You know, we're not doing any genetic modification with this project, and it's really important that we distinguish our approach of assisting natural processes from the genetic modification or GMOs. We're not doing any GMO work here.
I'm sorry? Building a better flower or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's really, you know, the classic, you know, breeding of two things that you want to see the culmination of those two individuals as something else. That's how really we've bred all these dogs. You know, we saw something fabulous in them, a trait like, you know, with once a dog with a big ear, and we bred for that particular trait. In this instance, we're breeding for the ability to withstand warmer and more acidic waters. Really what we're doing is what nature does over extend the period of time. This is how evolution really works. You know, you basically wait over many generations to see what the outcome of two eggs, and an egg and a sperm getting together. And what happens is if that union is really good and it's able to withstand the conditions in which it lives, it will survive. And if it's a weak combination, then usually that will die. But the problem is what's happening is the rate of change in the environment is so quick at the moment that it's sort of outpacing the generational times of corals because they're extremely long-lived animals. So what we're really trying to do is just to accelerate evolution by assisting it, by bringing two individuals together, and we've chosen those two individuals because they are both really fit, and we think they will make a fit offspring. So it's really quite simple, actually. It's not... It sounds simple, but it's a hell of a lot of work to put a project like this up. And, you know, we'll be hiring 5 people for the project at our end. And there's just a lot of work to be done. So it's the money is really to support the people to develop, you know, to come to a conclusion as to whether or not what we're attempting to do is viable. And then in the latter half of the project, it's a 5-year project, we will be starting to plan for test projects where we take the corals that we've already bred, and then we ask the question of, if we had a very damaged reef, how would we go about implanting that reef with these corals that we've bred in the project? You know, what would those projects look like? And so we had proposed 3 projects where we would basically take a reef that was completely obliterated, and we would plant these corals on it to basically recreate the structure. And the structure of reef is really what's important to us as humans, because it's where, you know, when you look at a reef and you ask people, well, why is it important? Why is the reef itself? Why should we protect it? It's because we have, it's nursery ground for all the fish that we eat, many of the fish that we eat, right? So it's a place that is, has many, many, many different nooks and crannies where other organisms can live. And then the structure itself, because corals are so amazing that they're able to actually build these skeletons and build this structure that we call a reef, that reef diminishes storm wave energy as it comes off the Pacific. So here in Hawaii, the threat of these big storms is pretty severe, but the storm will come in, and the first thing it hits, the wave energy is diminished by the reef, and that's important because it protects all the land behind it. Without that reef there, then you would have erosion of all your coastal environment. So, you know, what we would do is we would plant the reef again, a destroyed reef. We would try to replant it. But we're also interested in doing what's called building resilience. That is taking one of our corals, and let's just call it a super coral for the sake of argument, and planting it among other corals. And it will then innately reproduce with the corals that are in the natural setting. And if it is very fit, then it raises the overall capacity of that system to withstand stress in the future. And the last project that we were looking at planning for was this idea of maybe planting live corals onto concrete structures that are often poured into the water to protect the landmass behind them. So you see a lot of groins poured in to really diminish the way in which sand is being moved and to create calm water for boats. And as sea level rises, there's a lot of discussion about protecting the land by pouring in lots more concrete barriers. And so our last sort of project plan was that we would attempt to design a project where we would essentially green these concrete structures, and green in this case means plant living organisms on them. And we could then design a reef on this concrete structure that would potentially then attract fish and could serve to actually sustain the concrete structure, because the reef itself would grow and the organism, the animal, would lay down skeleton on that structure. And so, you know, from a sustainability perspective, it would be good because you wouldn't have to re-pour concrete all the time. So it's very, the sort of the actual, what would we do if we're successful is really exciting, and that will be planned towards the end of the project. It's a little bit of a different twist on conservation, right? So when you think about how we've traditionally gone about conserving or protecting marine resources, what we tend to do is sort of put a lasso around them and say, well, you can't fish inside the lasso, or you can't, you know, inside this boundary. We protect by trying to basically protect a place. And what we're talking about is a much more proactive and action-oriented intervention. And so, when the idea, when our idea first won the competition in 2013, we had quite a lot of pushback from people saying, well, this isn't really how we do conservation. You know, what we do is we protect, we don't intervene. And, you know, my perspective is that we haven't intervened, and what's happened is over time we've seen a lot of declines in our reefs, and so it's probably not enough. And so our idea is much more interventional, and to get to that sort of as an acceptable approach, we do a lot of speaking, and we will be talking to a lot of people in this project about what do we think the strengths and weaknesses of the type of approach that we have is. And I'm really most interested in talking to people who don't agree that we should do this, because I want to talk about what the sensitivity is and what people perceive as problems. You know, what are we scared of when we think about doing a project like this and actually implanting corals on, you know, fairly already damaged reefs? What are the potential risks of doing it? Or, as I often say to people, what are the potential risks of not doing it?